Hi, my name is Martin Purnell, and welcome to Off-Grid Christianity, a weekly podcast for those who go or don't go to church and for those who are disillusioned. This podcast series is to encourage via conversation and not necessarily change your mind prior to listening. You can contact us as well by email, ogc@accessradio.biz, biz is spelled B-I-Z, and we have our own website now, offgridchristianity.co.uk. So please enjoy today's guests. Yes, I did say guests. Jane Kirby and Ellie Linebear, who have just had a new book published and available at all good Christian bookshops, etc. It's entitled Say Goodbye to Anxiety, a 40-day devotional journal to overcome fear and worry. So who are Jane and Ellie? Why did they write a book together? What exactly is anxiety? What about their other lives, such as worship leading, songwriting, editing Truth magazine, and other ministries? Oh, and being part of families with husbands and children. What does enough is enough mean? All these questions, so little time to answer them. So let's meet our guest then, and that is Jane Kirby and Ellie Linebear. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you also for your patience regarding certain technical issues we're having as well. Much appreciated. So let's speak to Jane first. Where are we speaking to you from, please?
Hi, Martin. Lovely to see you today. I am in Hastings in the UK, on the coast.
Very nice. The south coast, and no doubt it's quite warm down there as well compared to up here.
Yeah, it's not too bad today. It's not raining, so that's nice.
And Ellie, how are you?
Yes.
Where are you from, please?
I'm well, Martin. Thank you for having us. I am in sunny Brighton, along the coast from Jane. A stone throws away, you know, sunny Brighton.
How far is a stone's throw?
A 40-minute drive.
Well, that's not too bad.
Something like that.
If you're going fast.
If you're going fast.
Within the speed limit, obviously.
Absolutely.
Just throw that in. Let's go for it, first of all. That's okay. Five questions, and you're all going to take it in turns to answer them. This should be very interesting. And then we can learn more about your book and everything else that goes along with it. Question one. If you could invite anybody from history for an evening meal, alive or dead, so that you could ask them questions, who would it be? And who's going to go first? Jane, there you go. I've nominated you.
I've had a bit of a theme going on with Joan of Arc.
Ah.
I read about her recently, and an International Women's Day, I was thinking about her, and I was asked who my hero was, and she is somebody that I would like to get to know, definitely.
Very good. Because?
Because, one, she heard God speak to her as a child and gave her a vision for her future. Two, she led the French army between 16 and 18. She met the future King of France, which was absolutely miraculous, because who would expect a young woman like her to meet, you know, a future king?
Yeah.
She had an audience with him, and she gave him advice on strategy on how to lead the army. So, I mean, it's just amazing. And she then, you know, died a really excruciatingly awful death. But yeah, I mean, I think she's an incredible woman. And also, when she was, you know, in the dock, and they were asking her why she did certain things, she just really guided by the Holy Spirit as to her answers. And if you go back and have a look at them, I can't remember what they are, which is annoying. But I just was really struck by her.
That's a great answer.
Love that.
And you could also ask her as well what she thinks of the Orchestral Maneuvers in a Dark single about her as well.
Yeah.
Whether she liked it or not. Great answer. Thank you. I think you're the first person to ever choose Joan of Arc, by the way.
That doesn't surprise me.
Well, let's see if Ellie can go one better then, Ellie. Oh. Who would you choose?
I think I would love to have dinner with my late grandma. She was a hoot. Oh. She was so funny, but so wise. And I think I'd just love to sit around the table, just hear more stories and lots of giggles. That's what I feel I'm needing at the moment, is just giggles. Giggles and stories. So yeah, I would choose her.
Well, do you know what? In a previous podcast, someone chose their parents and I said, tell me more. And the next 15 minutes was an incredible ride, which explained why I then had to go and buy the book written about his parents.
Wow.
Which involved the Second World War and Secrets from Hut 6. If anybody wants to know more about Bletchley Park, Secrets from Hut 6 is incredible. So tell me more then about your grandmother, please, Anneli. Fly the flag for her, please.
So it's my mum's mother, and she was married to my grandpa, of course, and they ran a church for years and years, but she was the host. She welcomed people and she cooked meals upon meals. I think every day would drop things off for people. She was like the kind of like a hidden gem, kind of like the rock for our family, honestly. And she just loved on people, whatever they looked like, however they were dressed, however they were, you know, she welcomed people into her home and loved on them and fed them and, you know, had a bed for them. So I just really, yeah, I'm inspired by her and how she lived. And she never won any awards. She never won. She never wrote a book, but she loved well. And I really admire that in her. So to grandma.
Oh, that is brilliant. And come on then, what meal would you cook her?
Oh, a roast dinner. Full chicken roast dinner, lots of Yorkshire puddings, cauliflower cheese. We're talking bread sauce, loads of gravy. Yes.
Yorkshire pudding.
Oh,
with chicken.
Yeah, definitely. Go for
bread
it.
Bread sauce, definitely. Although I cheat these days, I use it out of a packet.
Oh, yeah, same. I do the same. Don't worry, Martin.
Good. But you have to have bread sauce with your chicken. You have to. End of. Yes, excellent. That's a great answer. Thank you. If you had to ask her a question, then what would it be, Ellie?
I would ask her for recipes.
Oh, really?
I would. She made an amazing chocolate cake that I need. I would ask her, how do you make that? And she made a cracking apple crumble. I would ask her that. Give me the recipe, Grandma.
That's brilliant. Never mind. Tell me about your wisdom and everything else like that. Go for the basics.
Absolutely.
Yes, was it an army is fed on its stomach? Yes, and you do need chocolate cake. When you're feeling down and out, feeling blue, as the song would go, don't worry about climbing over a bridge of troubled water. Get some chocolate cake into you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you. Great answers. Question two then. Who is your favourite biblical character or favourite biblical story or favourite parable? We'll go with you first of all, Ellie, please.
Oh, I love the story of the lady who poured oil on Jesus' feet. I think I'll forever be, I don't know, it's just such an amazing, amazing story, isn't it? And I love how in the Bible it talks about, like, this story will go down in history, like this story will be told forever. And we're still talking about it, aren't we? We're still, what an amazing act of, yeah, obedience, of worship, of, yeah, I mean, feet are gross, aren't they? And she chose to do that to Jesus' feet. And so I think I'll forever just love that story. And I want to be more like that. I want to be more abandoned, really, and not caring what people think. And the Pharisees were looking down on her and, you know, people thought she was crazy and stupid, but she just loved Jesus with her whole heart and knew what was to come almost, you know. And so I really do. I mean, there's so many amazing people in the Bible, aren't they? But I'd choose her.
And a lot of reasons why she used her hair, why she was in the room. If you really dig deep into the history behind what was going on, it is quite a phenomenal story in itself as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I wish I could remember most of the answers on that. It's worth checking out. It really is.
Yes.
In fact, I'll tell you where you can find out the answer. One of my previous podcasts, Jesus and the Women in the Bible with Jeannie Kendall, episode 65. We talk about that very thing, and she goes into the historical status of what actually happened there and why she did it.
I'll check it out.
Please.
I was just going to ask, is she a relative of R.T. Kendall?
Do you know what? I never asked her that, and I've spoken to her quite a few times. I think she would have said so by now.
Yeah.
She's a Baptist minister. I will ask next time, but she's really good, and she lectures at Spurgeon's. So, Jane, who would you choose, please?
Well, I'm going to go for Ruth.
Ah, brilliant.
Because of her humility, her submission to her mother-in-law, her loyalty, and her trust. And I think that in the world we live in, it sort of just speaks so many levels about how we can live successful lives, if you want to use the word successful, but godly lives, I suppose. And I think it's so countercultural. You know, she puts her life on the line, basically her future on the line for her mother-in-law. And yet God comes through. And there's that thing about surrender as well. You know, when we fully surrender to God, he comes through. I mean, he comes through anyway, doesn't he? But each time I look at that story, I'm just blown away by her.
Yeah. And then it turns out she's one of the ancestors. If you follow the genealogy all the way down, we come to Jesus as well, all those hundreds of years later.
Exactly.
It's a phenomenal story, the fact she was prepared to go with her mother-in-law to another country. Well worth reading. Thank you. Good answers. Question three. And you can go for a frivolous answer on this one, by the way. You don't have to be really politically correct or anything else like that. If you were prime minister for the day and could change any law or impose a new law, what would it be? Let's go Jane first.
I would change the tax system to benefit those on lower incomes.
Hey, And what would you do?
I don't know the ins and outs of this, but I believe that if you're on a lower income, the proportion of your tax, your proportion of your income that you lose through tax essentially ends up to be higher, even though you're on a lower rate. I might be completely wrong, and I hope I'm not saying the right thing. But basically, I would just want things to be fairer for people.
Yeah.
A wider distribution of wealth is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I hear that. And I think it's also fair to say as well that with regard to the recent changes over here in the budget regarding to national insurance and everything else like that, it's fine if you're working, but if you're on benefits or if you're retired or anything else like that, that means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that if you become Prime Minister. I'd like to see you get that one through. That's going to be very good.
Yeah.
Could be a vote winner, mind.
Yeah. It's that feeling that there are a number of very, very, very wealthy people, and then there are a lot more people who are on incomes and are struggling, lower incomes.
Well, good luck with that. When you become Prime Minister, would you be strong enough to be a Prime Minister mentally?
Jane would. Yes, she would. She would rock it. She would rock it. All
is that
the wisdom.
Best? Oh, thanks, Ellie.
Well, there you go then. You're in.
I'm in. Vote for me.
Ellie, if you're Prime Minister for the day, what would you do, please?
There's a lot on the shoulders of a Prime Minister, isn't there?
Mm.
I couldn't do it. I could not. I do not want to run the country. But if I had to, something maybe to do with like young children, underprivileged, something to do with like food, I don't know, and like single broken families like that, just helping them or do something, come alongside.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know there's so many amazing charities out there doing so many amazing things, and like food banks and different educational things. But yeah, I feel like they do get looked over a lot, honestly. Something to do with that.
Well, that's very good. There's a theme here. You two must get together, I think, and form your own political party, the way things are going.
I think we need your grandma to cook.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that would be the vote winner. Free chocolate cake for every vote given to us.
Come on.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, question four. Outside of family events, what has been your most enjoyable day out then? Let's go with Ellie this time, first of all, please.
Well, it's got to start with a big breakfast. I think one of my favourite things is a hotel buffet breakfast. So it's got to start with that sort of style.
Yeah.
You've got your eggs, you've got your bacon, but then you've got your croissants, you've got your granola. Just have it all. Start there. Fill up for the great day. And then probably go out with my fam, go for a walk along the beach, get a coffee, get a donut, more food probably, hang out with some friends. Just be with people, do a craft. I love a craft. Oh, let's do some crafts in the afternoon, watch a movie, have a bath, bish, bash, bosh, into bed. Amen. With a cup of tea.
I love it. Great. I love it.
I'm going to let you have that because that's
Thank
an
you.
Ideal day out, but it's supposed to be what has been your most enjoyable day out to date.
That's my dream.
Well, that'll do. I will take that because that is great. It's not too expensive.
That is, yeah.
It's definitely achievable. I will let you have that. That's a great answer. Thank you. Jane, what about yourself then?
I had a really enjoyable day out a couple of weeks ago, which definitely ranked up there. I had an alternative Mother's Day date with my eldest son.
Wow.
And we went to Lewes. It's a lovely little town with lots of charity shops and lots of lovely, lovely, lovely cafes. And so we went to a gorgeous cafe. I'm going to give them a plug, the Flint Owl Bakery. And we had a nice coffee and they had to make gorgeous salads. And so I had that. Ethan had a chicken bun. Oh, it was lovely. But on the way there, we just had the most gorgeous, well, actually the whole day, just gorgeous conversation. And I felt really blessed that I could go out for the day with my son and just have a really, yeah, just a really lovely time. It was brilliant.
Brilliant.
And we did some charity shopping, which I love.
And how old is Ethan?
He is 23.
Wow. And he still wants to spend time with his mum like that. That's brilliant.
He's a good one. He's a good one.
That's lovely. Oh, what a great day out. Thank you very much indeed. Well, let's turn the corner though and say question five, what has been your most embarrassing moment to date? Jane, what has it been for you?
Well, it was a dream that didn't happen.
Oh, this is a first. Tell us more.
I mean, it never happened, but I dreamt of my wedding day. And in my dream, I walked up the aisle with my dress tucked in my knickers.
Brilliant.
And yeah, I couldn't think of a really embarrassing moment, apart from, you know, the times where you say the wrong thing at the wrong time and you want the ground to swallow you up. Even though it was a dream, it still felt extremely embarrassing.
Yeah. Never had someone share a dream before.
No.
But that is a really embarrassing dream.
It is.
And I'm sure there's somebody out there that's actually done that in real life.
Probably.
Maybe didn't get to church. It was spotted in time. But yeah.
100%.
Ellie, what about yourself?
I mean, there's just been many, many times. One of them that I recently talked about was when I was leading worship somewhere and I accidentally burped into the mic and carried on singing. I just had to carry on singing. And then I thought after, probably not best to have a full meal before you sing. And I never have since. So yeah, that was a moment. I was just like, wow. Fully into the sound system. There you have it. But yeah, that was embarrassing. That was a moment.
But it's what you do with it afterwards, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
That's the first part over with. Let's go and talk more, if that's okay, guys, with your new book, Say Goodbye to Anxiety. I don't know why I'm showing it to the video camera, because no one can see it. A 40-day devotional journey to overcome fear and worry, by Ellie Linebear and Jane Kirby. And as I said at the top end, available at all good Christian bookshops and no doubt Amazon and other places online as well. So before we go more into this book then, how did you two first meet in the first place?
How did we meet? I think we must have met at St. Peter's.
Yes.
St. Peter's Church. Yeah. At the church Ellie goes to in Brighton. So I knew a couple of people who were friends with Ellie. I think we got chatting, but I do also remember we were involved in a youth event together.
Yes.
And then I chatted to you there.
Yes.
And then we just kept going, didn't we?
Never stopped hanging out.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Well, let's talk more about yourselves as well, if that's okay, so we can get a bigger picture. Jane, tell us more about yourself.
I am a mum. I'm a wife. And I have two grown-up sons who are now no longer teenagers. And I run a magazine called Truth for Young Women, and we've just got charitable status.
Wow.
So we are called Truth Generation, and our vision mission is to advance the Christian faith through printed and digital media. So that is very exciting. I mean, I love writing. I love chatting to people. I love swimming in the sea, eating pizza, going for walks, having fun, chatting with my girlfriends.
Mm.
Yeah, all things like that. I live a very rich and full life.
Do you go swimming in the sea in the winter?
I have been known to, yes.
There's a word for that. Mad, I think it
is. Yeah. So we have a group of friends who go swimming on a Saturday. And at the moment, some of them are going in and have been all through the winter. I did that one year, but it's just not been sunny enough. You know, there's nothing more life-giving than going into the sea when it's sunny. I mean, you know, don't you, Ellie, because you live by the sea as well. And then sitting on the beach afterwards with a cup of coffee and something to eat, whatever that will be, pastry, whatever, is the best.
This has to go out on the Food Network, the way things are going.
It does.
Yeah, I'd like to know more then, if that's okay, about Truth Magazine, please. Who's it aimed at? Tell us more.
It's aimed at young women, sort of 18 to 25, but to be honest, it's read by all different ages, and not only provides an opportunity for women to write and share their stories, but also it's there to encourage young women into being all who God says they are and to cheer them on. It's biblical based in terms of the content will include something about Jesus. Yeah, it's written by all sorts of women. We like to have a cover story of somebody who has done something inspirational. We just want to encourage young women in their faith, basically.
Why women and not men as well? So why just women?
Because I'm a woman and I actually don't know. I mean, there are some things in our lives that are similar, but I don't know what it's like to be a guy and what they face. So that just seemed simpler.
Good answer.
But it's not to say that we wouldn't put together something that is for guys under the charity. Now we've got the charity, we can do what we like. I mean, not do what we like, but we can start something for guys. We just need God to speak to somebody, put it on their heart, and then we can work with them.
It's one thing to have this idea, I want to do this. But as we know in life, so many people have these great ideas and fall by the wayside. So when did this idea first start and what was the process for you to actually get it on board?
Good question. I was in the discernment process for training for ordination and had a no. And my friend messaged me and said, you have a rebel heart. And so the ministry started as Rebel Hearts, Rebel Girls. And that's how Truth came about. So it came out of a place of a door closed. And I just immediately thought, yeah, I do have a rebel heart. And actually, I am flipping tired about women being held back from what God has for them. And it's a time for women to be who they're. I mean, there are hundreds of millions of women doing the thing that they do well around the world. So it's not like we're the, you know, the trailblazer for it, but just to encourage a group of women to be who God says they are. But yeah, so starting something, I just sensed that that's what God wanted me to do. And he never said no. And all along the way, there've been times when I thought, oh, you know, why am I doing this? What am I doing it for? Mm. What's the point? But I just never sensed God say stop. So I've just kept going and I just want to be obedient to what he wants me to do. So yeah, just keep going. The enemy wants to stop us from what God has for us. So if God's laid something on your heart, see it out until he says no. I always think be called out of something. Don't stop because you feel. Let God call you into something else or tell you to stop, but carry on until he says.
You're saying all the right things for me here. This podcast is just for me at the moment.
Oh.
This is really good.
Keep going, Martin.
Well, I'll have to.
Yeah, you have to.
I think my catchphrase is I'm reluctantly obedient.
Oh, yeah.
I come kicking and screaming, but...
I mean, aren't we all?
I would do it.
I remember hearing Nikki Gumbel speak on leadership and he says, I'm a reluctant leader. I don't want to be a leader. But that's what God has asked me to do. So that's what I need to do. And it's that, you know, out of our weakness, his glory is greater than, you know, I mean, I never thought I would be doing this. It's not something that was on my bucket list. But I just need to keep going and dig my feet into the ground and keep going.
Yeah. I haven't forgotten you, Ellie. I will come to you in a minute, honest.
I love that. This is a podcast for me too.
Oh, good. Well, I'll keep going then. And if you want to ask a question.
Ellie has been involved in the magazine. So she was on the very first front cover. And immediately when I thought of who would I want to be on the front cover of the magazine, the first issue, I thought of Ellie because she is an inspiration to so many people. She may not feel it, but she is. And honestly, she was on the editorial board and such an encouragement to me. And I'm so thankful to her. For her encouragement, for being there, and for her time as well. You know, that is not to be taken lightly. So thanks, Ellie.
Thank you, Jane.
Well, we'll come to Ellie definitely in a minute so she can counter that. And it's lovely to encourage. But going back to then this idea, and you were obedient and you knew that you wanted to do something for women of all ages, but to keep them going, I love the idea about a rebel heart, but you still have to go into the process of getting a publication. And then when you've had it printed, it's then getting out there to as many people as possible. So what did you do?
So I prayed about it. I prayed about the finance and God provided for one. So that was a massive encouragement. We sell some. So we have a presence on Instagram. So that really helps and through the website. But also it's not just to sell it. We give it away. You know, there are so many... young women who might not think I need a magazine, but we want to give them a gift. And so it's a gift to people and people can give it as a gift. So it's an encouragement. You know, if you've got a girlfriend who's feeling a little bit run down or low, you know, give her a gift. And it might be that you give her Truth magazine, or it might be that you make a chocolate cake for her or whatever it is. Yeah. It's an opportunity to give to somebody else as well. And encourage them. And so we've given them to student groups. They've been in goodie bags at conferences. You know, we just get it out as far as anyone will take it.
So how many do you print a month?
We print it 3 times a year and it's usually about 2,000 copies per print run.
Right.
sometimes it's more, sometimes it's a little bit less, but it's, on average, it's about that.
And every single copy goes?
Every single copy goes, yeah.
Brilliant. So what's the next step for you then on this journey of publications?
I wanted to go further and wider. You know, our remit under the Charities Commission is UK and overseas. So it can go anywhere. You know, if the funds come in, we can get it out there and get it, you know, Brazil, we could get it translated, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing stopping us, you know, apart from, I don't know, there isn't anything stopping any of us, is there?
Yeah, yeah. And how many pages, roughly, per print run?
Per pages, it is 24 pages. It might expand.
Wow. How many editions have you had so far printed?
We have just done our 8th edition.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah, you got past the first year and you're still going. That's brilliant. Keep going.
Thank you, Martin.
Keep going.
Thank you for asking about it. I appreciate it.
Well, edition number one, Ellie Linebear. Wow.
Hello.
Yeah, fantastic.
An honour.
I want to know more about Ellie, though. I haven't got the magazine. I can't read it. But I want to know more about yourself. So tell us more about who you are, please, Ellie.
Yes. Hello, I'm Ellie Linebear, the weirdest surname you've probably ever heard.
No.
But it's real. Lime like the fruit, bear like the animal. I am married to Tom. We've been married for 7 years now. And we've got 2 little boys under 2. So
oh, wow.
We're in it. We're loving it. I love being a mum. I love living in Brighton. I've lived here now for over 10 years. Moved with my whole family here when I was a teenager and love this city. I love it. I love our community here. I'm a worship leader. I write songs and go around the world visiting different churches, leading worship and doing different gigs sort of things also amongst it all. But I just am really passionate about this next generation. I'm passionate about people finding freedom in Jesus. It's the only place you'll find true freedom is in Jesus. And I've written a book with Jane Kirby here, co-author of Say Goodbye to Anxiety. You know, every day it is a gift, isn't it? You wake up again and think, oh, wow, I'm alive again. Mm. Wow, you've woken me up again, Lord. And, you know, we're all here another day. And you've got to be grateful, haven't you? You've got to be grateful for your day, whether it's an awful day or whether it's the best day of your life, like my dream day, going to the hotel. Gratitude is a big thing. And if, you know, we got to give God everything, let go of things, bitterness and things that we can't really carry ourselves, otherwise they leak, don't they? But we've got to just claim the freedom, the joy and the goodness that he has for us. And
yeah,
I think you have to do that daily. And so, yeah, it's been a journey of let go of fear and all the things. But it's a full life. It's a real full life, but I'm grateful. And yeah, the Lord is very, very kind.
Well, let's talk more about your book now, if that's okay. And feel free to interject, because what's very good for me to see is that, and without being rude here, you could sort of pass as sisters, but there's sort of a bit of an age gap, I would guess.
Love that.
I'm taking that.
The fact that we've got like a 2-year-old and a 22-year-old, you know, you get the feeling that there's a slight age gap, which I think works in the favour of this book. So why did you guys, first of all, want to write this book? And bearing in mind also that there is a slight age gap as well, which I think is actually a blessing.
Thank you.
Jane.
I had thought it would be a good idea to write a book on anxiety, and having experienced it myself and feeling that I wanted other people to find freedom. Ellie had written something for YouVersion Bible app, and it was a really, really great devotional on anxiety. And so we chatted and we just thought, should we do something together? So we did, and it got published.
You make it sound so easy. I don't think it's as simple as that.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't. We had to do a proposal, you know, and it just so happened that in the church I go to is a guy who is a literary agent. So God put all the pieces together and we got the opportunity to write this book. So it's been a really amazing journey.
What really, really pleased me was that when you open this beautifully hardback book, there, it's hardback there, you can hear that. Beautifully laid out, but on one of the first pages we get enough is enough. There you go. We've written this book because we're done with anxiety, paralysing people young and old all around the world. We want everyone to experience the healing power of the cross. So from a personal point of view, enough is enough. What does it mean to you guys? Ellie?
Yeah, I think it got to the point when in my anxiety journey where I was like, oh, that is literally it. Enough is enough. I do not want to live in this anymore. I do not want to become, you know, I was just about to have my baby, I think. I can't even remember where it was, but it was like the whole thing of, I don't want to be a fearful friend. I don't want to be a fearful wife. I don't want to be an anxious mother, an anxious grandma. Like, enough is enough. It has to stop here. It has to, because I just, it is squashing me. It is like minimizing my day to day. It's like blurring my future. It is like ripping to shreds my days. And enough is enough. Like, this is not the life that Jesus has died for me. I'm not living in freedom. Enough is enough. Let's, something needs to switch up here. Something needs to turn around. And yes, I fully believe in God can heal like straight there and then. Like, I believe that he can heal in an instant. But also there's something when partnering with him with your healing too. And that has been like my journey with anxiety, is that I've had to do the work too with this to get free from anxiety. I've had to do the work with him, and he's been so kind, but definitely got to the point where I was like, oh, okay, I don't want to carry on like this, in this rhythm, in this way of life any longer. So that was my point. Yeah, maybe 5 years ago, realizing like, this is it. This has to change.
You don't mind me asking, explain your anxieties, your anxiety attacks. What were they like?
Yeah, I mean, I would have panic attacks. I would just freeze. There would be days, weeks where I wouldn't leave my home. There would be things that, really easy things that people would be able to do day-to-day life, like going to the post office, going to do a food shop, that I couldn't do. I was terrified. It felt like anxiety like locked me in my house. And even the weird thing is that we would travel a lot with my work, and almost like that was the easy bit, because I was like, it felt like such separation in a way. I was still very anxious though, like for flying and doing different things. I'd be waiting for things to be over so that I could just like cave in. But yeah, I guess my anxiety, it was just like, it stopped me from doing so many, one, normal things, but things that I really loved doing and things that I really wanted to do. And so I feel like just anxiety just blurs things and makes things a big deal when sometimes it's not, but it can just turn, it just can really make you feel like that. There was this one time in my journey where my husband encouraged me to write everything I would do if I didn't have fear, if I didn't have anxiety.
Oh, wow.
And it was just pages and pages of things that, you know, some were little things, some were big things, but I was like, wow, this is like not freedom. I am not living in freedom. I'm not living in like a free Ellie. And that's a problem. That's not right. Like, and I don't want to be old and gray and be anxious and thought, oh, I could have like really gone after this earlier, you know, like today is the day, like start today. If you're struggling to, like, it's a journey, of course. And it's like, it's such a battle. We talk about that a lot in our book, that it's a battle, like you have to fight because, you know, your mind is so strong and it just is. But yeah, for me, it's just, yeah, so different anxieties, but like, I can honestly say that God has just freed me from so many things that I never thought I'd be able to do or tackle. And so, yeah, by the grace of God, yeah, it's unbelievable.
Can I ask you a personal question, please? And if you don't like the answer you give, I'm happy to edit it out and everything else like that. But you said this like 5 years ago. At the top end, I mentioned that you know, are a singer-songwriter, you lead worship. What about those times when you would go into lead worship and yet you have all these anxieties? How much of it did you feel maybe you were a fraud or something like that? What do you remember those times?
Yeah. Well, I remember just like, yeah, even just being a Christian, you feel like a fraud, don't you? When you struggle with anxiety, like, I shouldn't be feeling like this. Why shouldn't? It says so many times, like over, I think it's like 365 times saying, do not fear in the Bible, or like something about fear. So there was definitely shame. But funny enough,
shame is an amazing word. We'll come back to that in a minute. Carry on.
So I would definitely be anxious about different elements of like a trip, saying where we were going, like the flying, the travel, or who, you know, socially different things. But the minute I started worshiping and would lead people in worship, things would go. Like I wouldn't be thinking about my anxious thoughts because I was focusing on him. I was focusing on worshiping Jesus. Like I wasn't fixated on myself. I wasn't looking at my, you know, thinking about me. I was fully flipping the coin here and focusing on him. And I think that's the power of worship. That's the power of like fixing our eyes on Jesus. It's the power of like truly surrendering and worshiping him, is that things fall off of us when we worship. Things fall off of us when we fix our eyes on him. And yes, that sounds like a lovely thing, doesn't it? And you can say, but like, and then there's troubled times when it's like, that's hard to, it's hard to worship sometimes when you're feeling like that. But I have never regretted it. I've never regretted worshiping or singing out of tune, in tune, slobbery, you know, snot everywhere, whatever. I've never
burping.
I've never regretted worshiping and fixing my gaze on Jesus, no matter my circumstance or how I feel in that moment. Like, I think you just have to continue to like battle on through like your situation and your feelings too, of like, I don't feel, you know, it's so easy to be like, I don't feel like worshiping to this song today. I don't really like this song. I'm not really feeling it. But it's like, oh wow, we, and those moments are on the cusp, on the absolute cusp of transformation, of healing, of breakthrough, of, you know, and whether it happens there and then, our obedience to like continue to worship and continue to praise him through it all. It's powerful. Yeah.
That's powerful, Ellie. That is truth. Absolute truth. Yeah.
I'm going to put a question to you now, Jane. Enough is enough. What does that mean to you?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I've said it, enough is enough. There are a couple of significant times in my life where I've said enough is enough. But with anxiety, I could literally, I was crippled by it. I was on the floor, snot running, eyes streaming, crying, help me, Lord, help me, heal me. I just wanted to be healed like immediately. That didn't happen. It was a gradual process of transformation of my mind and renewing of it and healing of wounds and false beliefs and lies. And trauma actually as well. So God's done a big work in my life, and anxiety was really the trigger of it for me.
What was anxiety like for you then?
In the early days, it was like I was paralyzed by it. It was hard to think, speak. I went off my food. I didn't want to go out. Yeah, it was really, really awful. But I went on medication, which really, really helped me, and started having counselling, went to this amazing place for prayer ministry, and so went deep with God and went really deep and just allowed him to uncover stuff that had been laying there festering in my life, let it all bubble up like dross to the surface so he could deal with it, yeah.
Do you know what pleases me in that statement was that you've written this book, which is great, but you also did something about it. You went to seek and get medical help. And all too often in life, we hear people of a certain persuasion say, oh, all you need is Jesus, blah, blah, blah. And actually, sometimes you actually need to go and get help as well.
Oh, you definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you can do it both ways. And it depends how extreme it is in, you know, for me, I was not in a good place. It was a very, very dark place. And, you know, God has given, you know, Luke was a doctor, wasn't he, in the Bible? He's given us this wisdom, knowledge, he's given us science. And I have a very, very good friend who is a farm in the pharmaceutical industry. And he said to me, you know, diabetics are given insulin. The medication you have is to help you to get to a level where you can function. And that's what it did.
Episode 50, which is prayer and mental health with Peter Mockford, who is at the top of his game regarding psychotherapy and a former vicar. But I remember him saying in the early days, akin to the the analogy of being a diabetic, and that basically when you're going through real heavy problems, your brain relies on chemicals, and sometimes it could be a chemical imbalance.
Yeah, exactly.
What the GPs are doing are giving you something, so just that the chemical imbalance can be balanced out again. Too many times, especially us Brits, we can be either shamed into doing it or not want to do it because we don't want to be shamed about it. And this is where Ellie would mention the word shame. So how shameful or how much shame did you feel with all the stuff that you were going through?
That thing about not being a proper Christian. But to be honest, I don't think I felt shame about the anxiety. I think I felt shame that I got there.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. And now I don't feel shame that I've experienced it. It's just that my life had got to the point where it was manifesting in my life, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be prepared to share what the main problem was on this?
So, you know, like all of us, life throws, you can go through really tough times. And I'd gone through a number of things in my life that I'd never really processed properly with God. And, you know, the Bible says to pour out your hearts to him. And the Psalms are full of people pouring out their hearts and being honest and real with God about it. Whereas I internalized stuff, I didn't process it with God. And so the wounds and scars, you know, opened up, wounds became infested. And, you know, you just got to get it out.
And that's where the counseling came in, of course.
Exactly, exactly. And really good friends, you know, and my church were absolutely amazing. So
for those that are listening at the moment that can identify with this, whether you're going through whatever it is, and I mean this lovingly, you're not going to ever be the first person to go through this. There are other people out there. And that's why sharing it with someone who has done proper counselling, who fully understands what's going on, can be a listening ear. That's such a great first step to help you out. But so too... is say goodbye to anxiety. Let's put it all into the melting pot. You've all understood yourselves what anxiety is. How do you then put it to paper? So what's the next bit of the process? What do you do?
That is a great question. So with this book, so the kind of vision for it was for it to be a 40-day devotional journal. And 40 days, there's so many things with 40 days, isn't there? And like Lent too. And we've just actually done our book club for the whole of Lent too, which that's another whole thing. But like the 40 days, it's just like it's a great amount of days, we think, that structurally every day doing something, it's a habit, you know. Is that over, it's something about like over 16 days, you can make a habit out of something.
Yeah, and it takes 30 days to break a habit. That's what they normally say.
Is that it? Is that what they say?
70% on the way there, if you start that process.
And we really wanted this to be... like digestible, like people, for it to be, you know, easy that people could pick up, and anyone, they didn't have to be super, super intelligent. They didn't have, you know, teenagers could read this, but also, you know, whatever age, whoever you are, that this could be something that you could digest, like food for your soul, that is full of truth, full of our stories, our own experiences. And we know ourselves, Jane and I, that stories are really compelling and stories really encourage. And so we really wanted to fill this book with our own revelations, our own stories, our own tools that have helped us, our own. This book is really just an encouragement for people. Like, come with us almost on this journey. Like, come and see. And we're with you in it, you know, every single day. Jane writes a page or I write a page. So we both wrote 20 pages and both wrote a prayer. And then there's a page for every single day of questions to spend time with God. There's a song that you can play whilst you're doing this. Just a real devotional time. You know, there's some things that we talk about in the days that are just like, maybe you've never thought about that before. If there's never been something that you've even pondered. But to have those questions to really like hammer home and go there, you know, within yourself, be like, okay, like what is the root of this, or what, you know, the trigger points, or, you know, there's so much that we talk about, but go there and spend time with God, invite the Holy Spirit in to this practice of your daily devotional. And so that's kind of what we've done, is just 20 days each, but we just hope it's an encouragement, honestly, and that. Yeah, that's kind of why we've written it.
Perfect.
I think encouragement is very important.
Yeah.
Immensely important. The three main things to motivate people in life are encouragement, promotion, and, you know, more money, mm-hmm. certainly in the job world. But we're so bad at giving encouragement. Jane, what would you like to add on that?
I think Ellis put it really well. There is something powerful about sharing your story to give hope to others. And
yeah,
that was the reason for doing it.
Yes.
Encouraging, hope, you will get better.
And the important thing for me is that I don't want to talk too much about the book. I want to talk around it so that people actually go and buy it.
Oh, thank you.
Food, though. This could be one of the big triggers. I would have thought 5 years ago when you were both going through what you were going through and crawling on all fours, I know all about that, and crying your eyes out and everything else, and enough is enough. And people can say so many things, but where you are now is totally different. Food being one of the loving things sort of thing. In those darkest times, what good things can you remember about?
Those moments where joy comes back. You find something that you enjoy doing. So I took up patchwork again. Somebody had a picture for me of loads of different patches, and they said that God was sewing them together to turn them into something beautiful. And what they didn't know was I'd actually just started patchworking. And just, yeah, just seeing God in things. And I think that's, when you go through hard times, God is nearer than you think and you realize, and he shows up in significant ways. And that's what I found. Mm. Is that, yeah, he really, really cares. He's in the detail.
I love that, Jane. Yeah, I just remember just the blessing of community, honestly, like, and people, like specific people. I remember one particular moment when I was in the car. I was in the back seat of the car, and my husband was in the front seat with one of our friends in the front seat, and I could feel a panic attack coming and thinking, oh, gosh, I'm fine with Tom being there, but I don't, you know, this person in front, I don't know you as well. How are you going to deal with me having a panic attack right now? And that almost increased it, you know, just the panic of that.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh, how are you going to take this? How are you going to take this? And I remember just like saying to Tom, like, I'm going to have a panic attack. And Tom pulled over on the side of the road, and our friend immediately just got out and stood the other side of the road without saying anything. There was no panic. There was no stress with him. And there I was. And then I eventually calmed down, and I just looked out the window, and my admiration for this friend of like, wow, you, I don't know, just like, thank you. Like that moment for me was just like, oh, just awful anyway.
Yeah.
But then he came back quietly and he just, you know, didn't say anything, but just like, are you doing okay? Are you okay? And that gentle, there wasn't drama. You know, it's just like people are just kind. They're so kind. And all that to say, like, if you're listening and you have an anxious friend or you yourself, like, thank their kindness. And if you can be that friend to someone, just to not dramatize anything or step back or draw close, whatever you think they need. But that moment for me was just really like, wow, like people, thank you for being aware. Thank you for just being kind and encouraging after. Yeah. And how can we help you from now on, from this moment on? Yeah, that for me was just like a moment of like, wow, the kindness of like God through this person spoke so loud when he didn't even say anything, you know? Yeah.
Ellie, please, before we get to the final question, for those that are listening today that, hey, they don't suffer from panic attacks, but they might know someone that does, or for the future they meet anyone, how can you describe what a panic attack is actually like, please? What actually happens for you in particular?
I mean, for me, what used to happen was like my heart would like start just pounding, and just everything felt a bit like out of body, honestly, like couldn't really focus on anything. But just like your mind is just feels like it's going in the washing machine and you're just full pelt, can't stop. It's just wearing. I get quite emotional. I just cry a lot. And when I used to have panic attacks, I would just be very emotional, and breathing was a problem. And they say that like you can't, just circulating and getting your breathing right. So my friends and family, if that would ever happen, they were just like almost just kind of either hold my hand or just like help me breathe. That was almost like one of the things, just like helping me breathe. And then like that was just very helpful, honestly. But yeah, the experience of panic attacks, they could be very different for everyone. But for me, that was how I would feel.
Yeah. Jane, you shared your feelings, what it was like crawling on all fours and everything else like that. I know this podcast is about you guys, but you do remind me of when I was going through things 20 odd years ago, and I knew that I had to make a decision. And I've been told by our vicar of various things what to do. And I thought, okay, I've got to take all my baggage and this time leave it at the altar. Mm. Everything was going badly, so badly wrong. My wife had been diagnosed with cancer. My son was 18 months old. I was going to have to give up work. Mm. We were living in the middle of England in Stoke. Then my in-laws turn up unannounced. I mean, they're from Northern Ireland. You know, what else could possibly go wrong? My football team's Bristol City. And I said to God, okay, we're playing Cardiff down at Bristol tonight. I've been given a lift down. I'll leave all my baggage, all my luggage at the front door. And I promise I'll pick it up when I get back. That's what I remember the most, was that I did that. I physically did it as I went out the door. People must have thought I was nuts, you know, but I pretended I had all my luggage and left it at the front door, walked out, got to the car, drove over to my mates who drove me down, had an amazing time down there. We didn't win, but it doesn't matter. Came back at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I remember physically picking up or pretending to pick up the baggage so it's like I could then start with God and start any healing process that was needed to be done.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's me. So that's from a bloke point of view. There are more ways of having anxieties than people think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's great that you can do this as well. And it's great also you can mention that, you know, go and seek help. It's not bad.
Mm.
There's no shame in that.
Mm.
In closing, before we get to the final question of who your Christian heroes are, what do you want to say in closing regarding this whole podcast? Ellie, you go first, and then we'll let Jane finish off. She was almost a vicar, so that counts.
Yeah, I would say, like, today's your day. Like, you've been given another day. And wherever you are on like the anxiety like spectrum, I like to call it almost, because it's like you said, it's so, you know, there can be days, there can be weeks, there can, you know, and the heights of anxiety, but know that you're not alone. Know that you're not the only one experiencing this, and that there is freedom and that there is hope. I would say chat to someone, find a friend that you can be very honest with in those pits or those bubbling up moments of saying like, I feel anxious. Like, I'd encourage anyone listening just to like speak out more of like how you're really feeling. Let people like shoulder it with people and just give it all to Jesus again. I think just like you said, Martin, of that, you know, cast your cares on the Lord. That is so powerful. And He's not offended. He's not embarrassed. He's not ashamed of you in the slightest. Like, He always encourages us, doesn't He, to give Him all of our stuff. But yeah, just keep going. Honestly, keep going. But talk to people. Don't do this alone. Please don't do this alone. Don't get old and grey, like, on your own and anxious on your own.
I thought you were going to point to me there.
No. All of us. Shoulder it. Yeah. How about you, Jane?
Yeah, I would say that you are so precious. Mm. You know, when you think about what the Bible says about, you know, before the beginning of time, He had us in mind. You know, it's a crazy thought, but just get to know what the Bible says about who we are and how important we are to God's plan for this world. You know, He needs us to do what He's made us to do. And don't let anxiety get in the way. Just say, enough is enough. Lord, I want to go through a process with you. Like Martin did, I want to take my bags and put them at the foot of the cross. And I want to go forwards with you. Because He wants us to come through the other side with Him, stronger, more resilient, more aware of His power, more aware of His purpose and His plan for our lives. And that is what I want to tell people. Yes.
Brilliant. Well, it's going to make a great sequel as well. When people have finished this 40-day journal, they'll go, oh, what can I do now?
Mm-hmm.
Sequel, please. There you go. You heard it here first, or maybe second. Well, wow, look at the time. Just one more question, and then you are free to go and enjoy the rest of the day with a croissant or whatever.
Nice.
Christian hero time then. can't be in the Bible. So who should go first? Ellie Linebear, who is your Christian hero, please?
I think Mother Teresa. Can I say that?
You can indeed. You're not the first person.
Really?
Tell us more.
Just what a woman. The love, the compassion, the humility. Stories upon stories, aren't there? And I don't know them all. What I do know is that what a woman. And she loved Jesus and loved people so well. I think at the end of the day, it's like, it is that, don't you think? At the end of the day, it's like, we just do need to love people well. And like when it all boils down, love your neighbor, love the person at the supermarket who's boxing your food, love the person who's behind you in the queue for the coffee. Yeah, I want to be more loving and aware of what God is doing and the people around us, which I feel like Mother Teresa did very well. So yeah, that's there you go. Yeah.
Who came to Northern Ireland for a year or so, started up a commune over here in the height of the Troubles. Yeah.
Wow.
And you want to know more about Mother Teresa, have a listen to the Ian Coffey podcast that went out a few months ago. Ian Coffey, Baptist minister and very well-known international evangelist. He had the privilege of meeting not once but twice, and it's a phenomenal story on how he met her. Good choice. Jane Kirby, Hastings, United Kingdom.
Yes, Frances Cabrini, who's had a film made of her life. She was an Italian nun who basically was told that she couldn't set up all of these orphanages, but she did it anyway. She moved to the States, and she's the first American citizen to be made a saint.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How many years ago?
Oh, it's 1800s.
Right. A bit before my time.
Yeah, an incredible woman.
Yeah
a bit before my time. An absolutely incredible woman. And I just love the fact that they just kept telling her no, and she just said, you haven't seen anything yet of what I'm going to do.
Frances Cabrini.
And she struggled. There's a film being made about her life, which Angel Studios has produced. I got to see it and I was blown away by her.
What else do we know about her then?
She had a serious health condition. She nearly drowned as a child and so had problems with her lungs. So she was written off basically by everybody, and she proved them wrong.
Didn't she just?
Come on.
Yeah.
Wow.
A courageous woman.
Yeah. And a film's been made, has it already, and is out?
A film has been made, and it's out now, actually.
Well, the $64,000 question then, Jane, what's the name of the film?
It's called Cabrini.
Wow.
The book, again, is called Say Goodbye to Anxiety, a 40-day devotional journal to overcome fear and worry. It's been great. Ellie Linebear, Jane Kirby, thank you so much for spending time today. I've really enjoyed your time. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Martin.
Thank you. Cheers. God bless.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you.